to $10 per pound for lobsters. Rich Thomason reporting.
Today is Sunday, March the 4th. It's the 63rd day of 2018. On this date in history, 1681, England's King Charles II granted a charter to William Penn for an area of land in North America that we still call Pennsylvania. On this date in 1943, the Oscar for Best Picture went to Mrs. Miniver, six Oscars all over. The Oscar show's on tonight. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sovereign Minds. Sorry, this is not Mark Kent. I guess I should say good morning, Jefferson Sovereign State of Minds or something. So when Carpenter and myself, Chris Kellstrom, are staying over, Mark is not feeling well again, and Linda is at the gun show. So we will be holding over Jefferson State of Mind in Sovereign Minds and kind of doing our own show, I guess. We're winging it today.
Yeah, hopefully we don't help you lose your mind.
So speaking of the gun show that Linda's at, it's on Hilltop Drive at the Holiday Inn. Hours today are 9 to 4, so it is going strong right now. Mm-hmm. It'll be going on till 4 o'clock, so you ought to get on over there. Lots of good stuff to see, not just guns. There's an awful lot of, you know, great information, great groups. There's, you know, a whole bunch of hats and old stuff, and there's just old stuff, new stuff, something for everybody.
Yep, and don't forget, if you've got a CCW, you keep it home, locked up in your rig, whatever you got to do. You just can't take it in. Remember, we went through all those rules and regulations before, but just a general reminder that you don't want to get yourself into a pickle and force Patrick and the crew to have to take it from you.
There will be plenty of people there that are working security to keep you safe for that particular time, and then get back in your car and carry yourself again.
There you go. So we're just hoping everybody, you know, goes and has a good time and support those folks. They're fighting a battle. Every vendor in there is fighting a battle. They're trying to stay above board, and they're obviously a Second Amendment folks, aren't they?
Yeah, and you know, if you don't have a chance to get the gun show, which I highly recommend, you should get there. There's a lot of different people there. But if for some reason you don't have a chance to get there today, you know, go by Jones Fort Monday through Saturday. They're open East Cypress there, so great place to go. Great guys, very knowledgeable, good gunsmiths, good guns, good deals. You know, if you really want to know what's going on and what the laws are and what's available and everything else, they've got it all down pat. So stop by my buddies at Jones's Fort.
And they will take care of you. They do a good job. I get all my goodies there, so.
Yep, fantastic. And it's kind of nice to go there where, you know somebody that knows something. When you ask them a question, it's, you know, not somebody wearing a smock.
We'll be careful.
We'll try. We'll there's no way we can replace Mark and Red and Linda, but we'll do our best. And you bring us the subjects, we'll talk about them. So, I don't know. One of the subjects I want to talk about is for all my Jeffersonian buddies out there. I want everybody to keep in mind, you know, when you're wearing the Jefferson shirt, wearing the Jefferson hat, mm-hmm. if you're working a Jefferson booth, or even if you're in the Board of Supervisors or the Reading City Council meetings or something, if you're wearing that Jefferson shirt, guys, please, please leave your personal beliefs outside and only spout the Jefferson, what Jefferson believes in. In other words, we encourage you to wear the shirts. We encourage you to wear the hats. But remember, you are representing Jefferson when you're doing that. You're not only representing yourself. If you want to represent your own personal beliefs, by all means, it's a free country still, thank goodness. Mm-hmm. But represent those wearing your own clothes, not Jefferson clothes. So I just, you know, again, whatever side of the fence you're on, just keep in mind, sometimes you represent yourself, sometimes you represent Jefferson. If you're wearing the Jefferson gear, please represent the Jefferson line, not your own personal beliefs all the time.
And it's sad that we have to bring that up only because it will, whatever you say or whatever you do will be twisted to make you and Jefferson look bad in every direction. So just keep that in mind. It's going to happen. There's nothing we can do about it. And, you know, we expect it. So that's why we say this. Because we know that when you are speaking from the heart, a lot of times you're wearing your passion on the sleeve and you're telling people how you feel and what you think and so forth. And it can be twisted around. And then it'll be a message that you did not want to convey. And then it's out there.
And if that sleeve that you're wearing your passion on happens to have Jefferson on the front of it, you are kind of painting the entire movement with that. So, you know, and for instance, we all have our beliefs. We all have our strong beliefs. And there's a lot of hot button issues out there. Vaccinations, marijuana, there's a whole bunch of them. And just keep in mind, you have your personal beliefs. But if you're representing Jefferson, you know, make sure that you know what you're saying out there. We do not want to alienate half the population on some of our statements when we're wearing that shirt. And I'll just use an example. I was at work in the home show last year, and there's a gentleman that came through, and you know, great guy. He asked, he kind of looked at it, and he says, you know, I'm not sure if I'm for this or not. And so I asked him, I said, well, are you for Los Angeles and San Francisco, controlling all the decisions that you make and living your life up here? And, you know, he wasn't. I said, okay. I said, well, then you are apparently for that, because that's what we're against. We're about representation. We're about Los Angeles and San Francisco not making rules and regulations that we all have to live by up here. They have problems we don't have. We have problems they don't have. But yet we have to live our life because of their problems. So as I'm talking to the guy, he ended up, he was bashing Trump for a while. Well, again, I'm wearing a Jefferson shirt and I'm behind a Jefferson booth. So Trump has nothing to do with the Jefferson movement. So I don't care what his personal beliefs are. Obviously, him and I may be on different sides of the fence. And in fact, we ended up coming to that conclusion later on. But I let him bash Trump because that's not important to Jefferson. My personal opinions, I kind of like the guy, but doesn't matter. So as we talked, and we talked some more, and, you know, quite frankly, we agreed on 90% of most everything we talked about. And at one point, he finally tells me he's a disgusted Democrat that's not disgusted enough to become a Republican. Well, I told him, well, you know, you and I are in the same boat. We're on opposite ends. I'm a disgusted Republican that's not disgusted enough to become a Democrat. So now we had something in common. So we had quite a good conversation. And, you know, again, I was sitting there. I was not supporting Chris Kellstrom. The booth did not say Chris Kellstrom's political views. The booth said Jefferson, and my shirt said Jefferson. So I'm going to talk to this guy, and if he had some different views of mine, I don't care. We are going to agree on Jefferson, and we did agree on Jefferson, and that's important. So we want to, you know, we say we are nonpartisan. We are nonpartisan. We want to welcome everybody in, and please, let's stop alienating half the population on different subjects.
One thing is, too, we're looking for representation for all the sovereign citizens of the Jefferson Territory. And actually, we're looking for representation, for all of California first. And if everybody gets representation, then we'll be able to do what we need to do when we want to become Jefferson and separate from California. So that's why we do what we do as often as we do it and as much as we do it. We're just trying to make sure people understand that. We want representation for every Californian because no Californians have representation now because we've been told multiple times that representation, we're screwed, and we're screwed equally. Okay, well, let's fix that. Let's unscrew it, and let's straighten it out and make it right. Well, our representatives do not want to do that because they've got their little club, the 120 club. You know, we've got our 80 assembly and 40 assembly senators. And good grief, can't even talk. But we have, that's what we have right now, when we should have far more than that representing the body of the public, of the people of California. And that's what we need to have, representation first and foremost. Then everything else will fall into place. We'll be able to access our representatives. We'll be able to tell them the will of us, the people. And then they will either comply or they get voted out.
And like we've always said, there's, you know, we don't want it. It doesn't matter if we're the right wing or the left wing. We're just tired of being the chicken in the middle.
There you go.
So let's get that chicken in the middle some freedom. I think we're going to a break. Did I see a motion for a break? Okay, we've given you a good introduction here, so we should have some callers. I just gave you a good lead-in. Pitch you a softball. Let's step up to the bat.
To such humiliating and debasing degradation that we cannot be trusted with arms for our defense?
Don't try and take my guns away. You'll wish you hadn't, you'll be sorry. The worst mistake you'll ever make. Don't try and take my guns away. You think today's your lucky day? Better think it through before it's too late. Listen close to what I say. Don't try and take my guns away.
On Friday, March 9th, at the new Sheridan Renning Hotel at the Sundial Bridge, the Trade School is hosting the Electricians Ball 2018, an elegant evening of dining along with the Craftsman's Art Auction. This fundraiser supports scholarships and technology upgrades. Please help us create rewarding career opportunities in the skilled trades. Millions of jobs are waiting. Our young people deserve a prosperous future. Visit ShastaBE.com/events and register or call 221-5556. All are welcome.
The Trade School, the Shasta Builders Exchange. Train, build, succeed.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. Freedom of the press. What does that mean today? At one time, it meant that the press had a protected status to be the watchdogs of the government and our politicians, to be neutral in their oversight of the news and politics, and to keep the people informed and the politicians honest. Sadly, today, the national news is nothing more than a political puppet with a corrupt, one-sided liberal progressive agenda. We can no longer trust or believe the media, but we can put our trust in Jesus Christ. If you're looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bellevue.com. We hope to see you soon, and remember, it's worth the ride.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president in first name.
Think president and CEO of Cornerstone Community Bank, and I invite you to stop by our new downtown Reading branch located at 1845 Spoil
You. I invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
Everyone is out there on the loose. Well, I wish I lived in the
Yourself to sleep now that you can live in peace.
Living in the land of fools. How long? How long? Yes. Not much longer, I hope.
Amen. And speaking of that, we, you know, when we had a state senator who loved guns so much, Senator Leland Yee out of San Francisco.
Did he love guns or gun control?
He loved gun trafficking.
Oh, because he passed a lot of gun control measures beforehand. Maybe that was to make his guns cheaper because there was no more call for them in California after his laws were passed. He could get them onto the black market at a discounted rate or something.
Yeah, and I guess he's headed to prison.
Whoa, really?
Yeah, I guess that's what happens when you traffic guns.
Huh, that's funny.
Get caught.
Wow.
And prosecuted.
I hope there's some more jail space because there's a whole bunch more people I think that should be his roommates.
Well, I think that's why, you know, we have Pelican Bay. We have several prisons throughout the state of Jefferson. And we could fill them up and we can make things happen.
Alcatraz is kind of falling apart a little bit and crumbling.
Maybe they go there.
Just the water itself will keep most of them in there. So I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, they don't need anything luxury, do they? They don't need internet. They don't need television.
I think they have an Alcatraz.
That's right.
Yeah. So I'm all for it. I'm absolutely all for it.
They can fish.
Maybe we can get that as an island of Jefferson. I think it would look really nice painted green and yellow.
Just a little eyesore.
With some familiar faces behind the bars looking out over the bay.
That's right.
So, hey, we had a caller a little while ago. Jimmy, if you're still out there, give us a call. So we're waiting to field some calls. Maybe everybody's going and listening to the new Jefferson radio on K-High.
K-High, yes.
Yeah, so if that's where you guys all are, well, I guess maybe Wynn and I will just bloviate for the next hour until that show's over and you guys can call in. So, Jimmy, if you're out there, call in. The rest of you, if you want to listen to the other Jefferson show, the letters are K-High, K-A-H-I, and I think you can probably Google that and find the website and listen to the podcast.
Yeah, they're at AM 950 and FM 104.5, and their exposure area is, again, Placer County, Nevada County, and El Dorado County, and eastern Sacramento County. So they've got the valley down there, so they're up and running now, so you can harass them if you'd like to do that. I was just giving this a little flyer here, and this is a good thing to be letting everybody know about. Enterprise High School has a culinary competition team, and they're having a spaghetti feed. And what they're doing and why they're doing it is the Enterprise Culinary Team will be competing in the 2018 Johnny Rockets Pro Start Culinary Cup for California on March 18th and 19th in Pomona, California, at the Sheraton Fairplex. Team needs to cover their lodging, food, and supplies costs for the event. And so the event is, their spaghetti feed here locally is going to be held on March 10th, so next Saturday, from 6 to 8 p.m., the Sons of Italy Lodge at 4850 Cedars Road here in Reading. And the menu will be Italian salad with heirloom tomatoes and croutons, spaghetti and Italian-style meatballs with a bolognese sauce, and basil, chiffonade, roasted red pepper, green beans, rustic garlic Parmesan bread, and they also have a vegetarian entree upon request. It sounds like we need to go to dinner there.
Sounds pretty good.
The cost is $15 per person or $100 for a table of eight, so you can get your own table of eight and have it control who you sit with if you want to do that, or control who you don't sit with if you want to do that. Raffle prizes and baskets will be available, and the students will prepare the meal, and the team will be introduced. So they'll do all the cooking and feed you, and they'll be introduced, and a short presentation will be done after the dinner. And they also have a dinner auction after the dinner. So for information on ticket purchases, you can contact James Leedy at 949-0704. Again, James Leedy at 949-0704. Or you can go to J Leedy, J-L-E-E-D-Y, at SUHSD.net if you want to email them. And it's sponsored by the Sons of Italy, Shasta Lodge number 2453 here in Reading. So that's a great option, you know, for all these kids to go and compete and have a good time and do a spaghetti dinner and you get some food out of it. And, you know, good Italian dinner is never bad for anybody.
Yeah, let's go support those kids at Enterprise. Proud graduate here of Hornet 1986. So
there you go.
Yeah, let's go on and give Enterprise some shout out. And looks like we got Jimmy on the phone. Jimmy just called back, so he took our challenge. Jimmy, are you there?
Oh, yeah. I've been tuned in, buddy.
Hey, how's it going, Jimmy?
Good. I just was listening to what you guys were saying about Leland Yee.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I know it's not too polite to do guilt by association, but isn't his wife the state treasurer?
Oh.
Could be. Off the top of my head, I don't know, Jimmy, but I would not doubt it. That's how things work. You get one elected, and the rest of the family gets elected also.
Yeah, I know. It was funny. You guys were talking about it, and I was just kind of giggling to myself. after he got busted, he actually got 1,800 votes because he was still running, you know, for office.
Yep.
And he still got 1,800 votes.
How does that work?
Well, it was probably one person voting 1,800 times or possibly 1,800 dead people. Who knows?
Hey, you never know. He could have paid 1,800 people a dollar each to vote for him.
And when we have 102% of participation rate in our elections, you know, who knows who's voting? And 102% participation rate, I mean, how many people do you know that are good people? I know several of them that say, well, I just don't vote. Well, really? According to our stats, you vote a couple times, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Along with my dead uncle.
Yeah, exactly.
And another thing I'd like to talk about is you guys were talking about this mayor of Oakland giving ICE or giving the people a heads up that ICE was going to do a raid.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, what I was thinking is if I told somebody who was breaking the law, hey, the authorities are coming for you, would that be considered obstruction of justice?
It might be considered aiding and abetting, I believe,
something
for sure.
Along those lines. I'm not a lawyer.
Yeah.
But it seems to me that is a felony.
Yeah, there's a lot of felonies being committed every day, all the time. And, yeah, if some reason, if you're, you know, in a certain political class, they don't apply to you, I guess. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, well, I just thought I'd call in and, you know, put my 2 cents in.
Oh, thanks, Jimmy.
And if Mark Baird is still listening, could you not call Gavin Newsom Gavin Twosome? Could you call him Gavin Gruesome?
Gruesome, huh?
I like them all. And, you know, speaking of Gavin Gruesome, Newsom, Twosome, whatever you want to say, I'll tell you, folks, you guys think Brown is bad, and I couldn't disagree with you, but you think
Jerry
Brown is...
Clown?
Yes, exactly. If you think Jerry Brown is bad, you ain't seen nothing yet, folks. Let me tell you. Jerry Brown's going to look like Mitt Romney when this thing's over, when Newsom gets in there.
Yeah, and I'd really like to thank you guys for enlightening a bunch of people that have talked about, you know, your show that I've talked to. And, you know, people had no idea of the gangster law-breaking that's going on with our, you know, political system here in California. It's deplorable.
Yeah, and the part that really bugs me, like I brought up on the last show, is they pass all these laws and then exempt themselves from them. It's just unbelievable. How did we get to this point? How did we get to this point with the Constitution protecting us from the government, and now our government passes laws that inflict their will upon us, but they don't have to live by them? And it's not just California. That goes for Congress and the Obamacare fiasco. They passed that law saying they don't have to abide by it, but everybody else does.
Because we didn't get to vote on it. We didn't have representation.
Yep.
Whether at the state level or...
We need to get a foothold here and then go federal.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Anyways, guys, thanks for listening. I love your show, and I'll talk to you later.
All right. Thanks, Jimmy.
Thanks, Jimmy. Bye-bye. Take care. Yeah, he's absolutely right. You know, what we're fighting with? Oh, man, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Hey, we have another caller on the line, and just want to pull him over. Hey, Terry, are you there?
I'm here. You're absolutely right, Chris. I think that if we get Gavin Newsom, whatever, if we get him, we'll be praying to have Jerry Brown back.
Yeah.
I think you're right about that.
That's a scary thought.
The reason I'm calling is there's a very interesting situation going on in Reading right now. People know that the city council, again, wants a half-cent sales tax for law enforcement, et cetera. I just found out today that in 2008, and this is according to Patrick Jones, that in 2008, if you were an officer, you could virtually get a $500 bonus paid to you if you got someone to transfer here laterally to our police department. I just found out, and I hope that people are all sitting down out there, that that bonus that a police officer here gets is now $5,000.
Good Lord.
If the transfer person from another city, a police officer transfers, they get $5,000. And the problem is that we end up with their unfunded liabilities, too. If a guy transfers and he's 42 and retires early at 50 or 52, we are stuck with their unfunded liability. This, to me, in my opinion, is just very unsettling. There's two letters to the editor today about the sales tax, but more so, you really ask yourself, and believe me, you know, I have friends that are police officers. We've done the sheriff support Rural America events. We've done them all over California with our great sheriffs. This is just beyond the pale. When you have a police force that makes that kind of money and now gets a bonus like that, unbelievable. So, and I just confirmed this, and to make sure I could call in and say it, and it was confirmed just now. I mean, that is just, to me, appalling. They should be ashamed of themselves.
And you know,
why not do something for the good of the community?
And the thing is, I have a friend of mine that was a Reading police officer, and there is a waiting list to get on with Reading because they're an extremely highly paid police force, and most of the guys usually have to start out somewhere else to get their experience, to build up their resume, so to speak, and to in order to transfer here. And a lot of the people that are from here that want to be a police officer, they would really want to be a police officer here more than anywhere else because this is their home. But to get their foot in the door, they have to go down to somewhere else. My particular friend went to Yuba City and was a police officer there. And then once they get experience, they can transfer here. And it's like, so you've got people waiting to get here to work other places so that they can get the experience to come here to get the transfer here. Yet we're paying people to $5,000 to get people that were already wanting to come here. I find that just incredible. But
well, it gets better because you know there has been. See, the other thing is too, and this is probably the worst part. The people that have brought this to light, and as we bring this to light, no one's anti-police and certainly not anti-law
exactly.
enforcement. But the problem is if you bring that up, you may face ramifications.
Yep.
I'll say it again. You may face ramifications. This, to me, is so beyond the pale. And dare I say, could be considered corrupt. The other thing is that with these guys that do come in, we are the fifth highest paid police department in the United States, according to Transparent California. I don't care what anybody says. The information Barry Tippin has put out is the entry level, what an entry level police officer would get coming in here. Well, an entry level police officer is certainly not one who has 10 or 15 years experience. And even if they did have that and they came in at an entry level, within a month they're changed because of their other pay, their education, their experience, et cetera. To me, this has become appalling. You know, more cops isn't going to fix the fact that we don't have jail space, and certainly more cops isn't going to fix the fact that we have AB 109, 47, et cetera, that are out there and creating a situation and an environment for criminals to where a felony is now a misdemeanor.
Hey, Terry, let me tell you how Anderson does it, and let me see what you think about that, because I know in Anderson, they aren't as highly paid as the city of Reading. So what they do is they take younger guys that want to get into the police force, that want to become police officers, and they will go ahead and pay for their training. They will pay to put them through the academy. They'll pay for their training, get them through the academy. They have an agreement with them that they will put them through the academy and pay them to go through it and become a sworn officer, but then they have to work for the Anderson Police Department for 3 years or 5 years or whatever it is. But they get the young guys and basically recruit them to their police officer division by paying for their training, and that's how they get. And they've got a lot of young gung-ho officers, let me tell you. Anderson, they don't mess around down there. So, I mean, they've got a great police force that's just awesome, and they're made up of a lot of young people that got their training and signed on to become an officer in that city because they have their training there.
What's not to love about that? What
Absolutely.
Is not to love about that? What is not ethical about that? It's just, it's totally ethical. It's wonderful. It's showing a real heart for creating an environment to where you're going to have safety in your neighborhoods and have safety in your cities. But this, I mean, a $5,000 bonus, the highest paid police department, 21 guys that make more money than the police chief of San Diego. And if you say something like that, well, you know, who knows what could happen to you? I mean, this has gotten to be a position to where it may not be corrupt, but it certainly adds to speculation of integrity and virtually not using your power to control a situation.
Yeah,
you know.
And you're certainly not saying anything bad about the police officers that are taking advantage of the situation. No, because horse knife. If somebody offers me a $5,000 bonus to bring somebody on board, I'm going to take it. There's no question about it. But why is that $5,000 bonus being offered to begin with? I mean, if there's a waiting list to get on, why is that? Well, how did that even come about that, you know, hey, we've got all these people waiting to become a Reading police officer because we pay extremely well and it's a great place to live. So how about we just throw some more taxpayer money out there and just, you know, award people for, you know, for bringing their buddies in? It makes no sense. And again, it's nothing against the police officers. It's not the police officers that are taking the higher wages. Hey, you know, God bless them. I would do the same thing. I mean, if that's your career and you want to live here, it's a bonus that you're getting paid more than somebody in some other place. It's not the police officers that we are talking about at all. It's the policies that made that situation.
Well,
absolutely correct.
Lack of transparency. I mean, if they're not going to be transparent about it, how come these aren't line items that you don't get to see in a budget? You know, again, forensic audit.
You're right. Well, you're right. The thing is that when you have this, and you know, I mean, you've got to have the awareness, though, really and truly, to understand that if you have a retirement program, you have a situation to where you're pushing your city to go bankrupt. I mean, we're talking about an emergency tax here now that's going to cost the city $77,000. We've already had a study we paid $155,000 for that said we did not need more police officers. So, I mean, what do you believe here? And the situation of someone like our new police chief, who has, what, I think about a year and a half before he can retire, we'll have to get a new one probably pretty soon. So as you look at all these different things, how can you possibly, with a straight face, come out with some of these things like, well, you know, our guys, like I was told by Chief Moore, well, our guys have to work they have to work overtime a lot. Oh, I guess you hate that extra money. You know, I mean, seriously? I mean, really and truly, you know, not only has time come for 51, and it certainly has, but time has also come to stop the basic appearance of corruption and also the persecution of people who speak up against the economic mess we're in. That's got to stop, and that's about all I got, guys. You guys are doing a great job. The show is going pretty good. People are starting to filter in now. Got to get back and help the booth.
All right. Well, we'll see you at the gun show. Tell them I might be a little late, Terry, because I'm going to be here till noon. I'm supposed to be there at noon, so anyhow.
I know, buddy, and thank you, Chris, for doing this, and thank you, Wynn, brother. You guys are great. Thank you so much.
No problem. My pleasure.
Our pleasure, yep.
Thank you.
Well, there you go, you know, Terry found more information that needed to be exposed and put out there. I mean, really, $5,000?
And you know, something about that tax increase, now, I have a couple people, I'm not going to name them, but there's a couple people that are, you know, all for this that I have a tremendous amount of respect for. I still would like one of them to explain to me how they trust our current city council to take these funds and not steal funds from somewhere else. I do not believe that the current city council, I would not trust them with a nickel and to give them another half half-cent increase on our sales tax. It's just, to me, I've used the argument before, but it's just like the lottery money. You know, the lottery money was going to save our schools. By golly, they were going to put all this money into the lottery was going to put all this money into our schools, and our schools were going to be flush with funds. You know, any teachers out there, Gary Hollihan, you want to call and tell me how the schools were flush with funds after the lottery money? No, because they took the lottery money in, and they took that amount of money back out of the schools and put it in the general fund. The schools ended up with a net of nothing, and basically the lottery money went to the schools, the school money went to the general fund. So I do not see how this sales tax is going to be any different from that. But like I say, there's a couple people that I have a lot of respect for. I'm just hoping they're not pie in the sky dreaming that somehow this money is going to be specifically earmarked and the city council isn't going to steal money from somewhere else to cover this money. I just do not see that happening.
Yeah. Hey, we have another caller. Sally, are you there?
I am.
How you doing, dear?
Good. It's good. I just wanted to let the listeners know that this topic, as well as the marijuana issue, will both be on the agenda at the city council meeting this Tuesday at 6 o'clock. So if they want to see the workings of our city council and how they're thinking, what they're thinking, and the vote, I think they're going to be voting on both of these issues on Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
Fantastic. That's going to be a good meeting. And, you know, that goes back to my earlier admonishment there that, please, if you guys, I'm going to use the marijuana one as an example because that is a hot button issue. And there is people that absolutely love it. There is people that absolutely hate it. I've heard the arguments on both sides of that. By all means, it's your freedom of speech and it's your right to go up there and address your representatives. But please, if you are wearing a Jefferson shirt, you know, just leave that at home that night. If you're going to get on either side of this, whether you're for or against it, please leave your Jefferson shirt at home. Represent yourself and not the entire state of Jefferson.
Amen.
Also, I just wanted to let everybody know that tomorrow night at the Reading Patriots meeting, we are going to have we're going to have Mark Baird speaking at the Capitol that night. And just so, there were many people that wanted to go down and for one reason or another were sick or couldn't take time off from work. They are going to be able to see I meant the courthouse.
Courthouse, yep.
The courthouse, yes. Going down there was like we're going to turn down the air conditioner to about 54 degrees and bring in a bunch of fans, and then they'll get the feel of it down there.
Well, I'm looking forward to that, Sally, because even though I was down there, Mark was kind of hard to hear, you know, quite a bit. I was in the back of the crowd, so he was a little difficult to hear. So I'm really looking forward to that because I didn't get to hear most of what he said. So it'll be nice.
He was using a bullhorn, but Robert, our sound guy and audio guy who is fantastic about getting good sound. He got Mark on the microphone, and we have excellent sound on the video that he took.
Fantastic.
For us.
Yeah, shout out to Robert and Garrett both. They both do fantastic work.
Yes, absolutely.
And
so
again,
come on out Monday night, tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, 3276 Pacelli Lane, and also the Jefferson meeting starts at 5:30.
There you go.
Yep, we'll see you there.
All right.
Thank you, Sally.
Thanks, Sally.
Yep, Sally's right because and you're right too, Chris. It was kind of hard to hear Mark at times because of the wind and the traffic. I mean, the traffic on that street was, you know, pretty noisy at times. So if Mark is soft-spoken anyway, even with a bullhorn. So he always wears a lapel mic that Robert always gets him recorded on, and he boosts that up and does some buffering on it so it sounds good.
Yeah, I could hear every other word or every other phrase, basically, because he was turning the bullhorn back and forth to the crowd. So when it would be pointing my way, I could hear some of it. But actually, I was talking to a lot of great people down there. We were talking about some fundraisers. So we were making some great progress. I talked to a couple of ladies from Yuba City and Colusa County. They're wanting to have a fundraiser, and I was talking to a guy in Siskiyou County who was interested in a fundraiser, and I was talking to our guys that had the spaghetti feed down in Tuolumne. So that was kind of some important stuff. So I'm looking forward to hearing what Mark had to say. But in the meantime, even though I was missing what he had to say, we were going over some really important stuff. So did I see the sign for a break? Are we wanting to go to a break, Jared?
Well, we have a caller. Let's take the caller real quick, and then we'll...
Hello?
Do,
Thanks.
Do we still have a caller? Okay. Okay, we have a caller. We'll go to the caller, and then we'll go off to the next break.
Roberta, are you there?
Good morning, Roberta.
Oh, good morning, guys. Hey, what a great time we had last Thursday. I want to know, there's a website or two that people can go to learn about the opposition of marijuana and why.
Okay.
If you could, if you don't have them, if somebody could call in and put those out there, it might be helpful to people.
Do you don't have the website information?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay.
So.
All right, I don't either. I'm sorry, I don't.
But maybe somebody does, and they'll call in and tell the rest of us.
There you go. That's a good challenge. Okay. I appreciate that.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Roberta.
Thanks, Roberta.
And, you know, while we brought that up, there's probably some websites out there that tell you all the great things about it, too. So, again, we Jefferson wants to be in the middle here. Jefferson, the official stance on that, I believe, is every county is going to make their own decisions. So, you know, we want to get that out there. So, yes, we understand all the harms and ills and horrible things about it. There's also another whole half of Jefferson that believes it's the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
You know, so, again.
And again, we can't do anything about it before we become a state.
Absolutely.
We have to wait to become an official state, and then the counties will decide. And once the counties decide, however they decide it, that's what's going to be. And that'll be when the votes count, when your vote counts within your respective county.
Hey, so, we got the phones ringing now. So we were trying to stir the pot a little bit. Maybe we got the pot stirred.
Kind of lit them up.
Yeah, absolutely. But, yeah, again, Jefferson wants to be a very small government, much like our federal government originally was supposed to be.
Right.
And that's what we see as Jefferson state government being a very small government. The power is all going to be in the counties. And I personally tried to get that to our county board of supervisors when all 40 of us went up there and spoke. And they didn't get it. We're trying to give them more power, but, you know, they have their nest is feathered, and they want to stay where they were. So
there you are.
We bypassed them.
Okay, we have another caller. Good morning, Gary. How are you doing, Professor?
Good morning.
You heard your name, didn't you, Gary?
Yes, I heard my name used in vain. Other than we're all older, nothing has changed regarding the city council. This tax is an emergency to them, but Gary Cadd and Patrick Jones and others brought this up years ago, and so did the rest of us who were listening, and yet I agree with you. Nothing has changed. You have two of the same people running again that were overseeing the road to City of Reading bankruptcy, and I don't know what you want to say
but,
about the spending, but anyway, it's not good.
But Gary and Pat were both wrong several years ago, according to the local media and everything, weren't they not, Gary? I mean, they were completely wrong. They didn't know what they were talking about. They were nuts, and they were basically forced out of there for the most part, because nobody wanted to hear what they had to say. But they were absolutely correct, weren't they?
Right. And, you know, people don't want to hear
bad
news, and it killed a messenger, and yet we're going to do this again. No way. And like you mentioned, the schools and the lottery, the money that was supposed to come from the lottery, then that amount, same amount, was backed off by the legislature and spent other places, and I'm sure the city of Reading will do the same thing. Well, I don't know. I'm sure there'll be other places, and this tax is nothing more than a bailout for their misspent funds regarding retirements and heaven knows where else. And so now somebody's realized, gee, we're really in the hole, aren't we? And it's not, I think, what's the number they're using? 26 million? The city of Reading is in the hole. Where is that number coming from? That's far, far less than reality.
Well, apparently they haven't had a forensic audit yet, have they? We'd probably have people going to jail if we did.
So Gary, the lottery money came into Nova a couple of years after I left there. I think the lottery was like 85 or 86. I think I was in Nova in 83. So you're telling me after the lottery money came through, all the students didn't get a new Macintosh? That didn't quite happen?
No. Unless you're talking about the bib overhaul for a summer job.
Yeah, so again, that's where the city of Reading money, and again, there's a couple of people that I have a ton of respect for that are thinking this is a good idea, and maybe it is, maybe you can convince me, but I know what I've seen in the past, history repeats itself, you know, we had that lottery money that was going to solve all of our ills, and nothing happened except more bloated general fund for more bloated projects, and I just see you pass a half-cent sales tax that's going to only go to a jail, and suddenly there's going to be money that was going to the jail going to be, to you know, put gold plating on the fish in the middle of Cyprus or something. I don't know.
Well, there's, again, I think we'd be, right now, what I know now, and maybe something may happen Tuesday night, it may change my mind, but what I know now, why would I vote for that tax when you have the same bad actors doing the same thing, and then we expect the outcome to be different?
That's
insanity.
That is insanity. That is the definition of insanity.
So much. Good show. Thanks for letting me vent.
All right. Thanks, Gary.
Anytime, Gary.
Bye.
He's right.
Yeah.
He's right. And we need to have butts in the seat, so to speak, at the city council meeting. So, yep. You know, go check it out.
Yeah, I'm not a resident of Reading, so I, you know, it's all on you guys, that you residents of Reading. It's not my battle, it's not my fight, so I'm just watching from the sidelines. But like I say, I've seen this before. Now, Anderson did pass a sales tax increase, and Anderson did use that money specifically, but they have a different group of leaders down there, and mm-hmm. the people trust those leaders, and
people have access to those leaders.
They absolutely do. And by the way, one of those leaders is running for board of supervisors. So yeah. You know, if we want to get some of that leadership that's on the Anderson City Council into Shasta County, you know, look that up. She's a great candidate, and I'm fully supportive of her.
Yep, absolutely. But it does affect everybody in Shasta County, in that half-cent sales tax. You go to buy a car here.
Yep.
You go to buy groceries or items that are taxable at Costco, Safeway, any store, Holiday, any of them. You're going to pay it.
Yeah.
And so gas tax, you know, all that, everything is going to all be affected. So it does affect everybody, whether you live and reside within the city boundaries of Reading or not. I mean, because most people come in and do their buying. They come in and buy what they can and go home. Well, yeah, it affects them. They're paying for it.
And while we're talking about that, those taxes in Shasta County, let me I do this in the new person's class there at Ombicelli Lane on 5:30 on Mondays. But this is how the taxes work in Shasta County. Okay, so if we're just going to use 7.5% because it's a good, nice, easy number to use. So if you go buy a $20,000 car at Crown Motors in Reading and they charge you the 7.5% sales tax, that's $1,500 in sales tax. That entire $1,500 is sent to Sacramento, the whole $1,500. 200 or 1 cent of every 7.5 cents, $200 of the 1500 comes back to City of Reading, $200 goes back to the County of Shasta, and $1,100 stays in Sacramento. Now, some of that money is given back to us in the forms of grants, basically, which is money with strings attached. So, for instance, you know, if we need some potholes fixed on Eureka Way, they might say, well, there's no money for the potholes on Eureka Way, but we have some money allocated for bike lanes down Pine Street. Well, we don't want bike lanes down Pine Street. We want the potholes fixed on Eureka Way. Well, I'm sorry, you don't get any money. If you want the money, you're going to have to put bike lanes down Pine Street. Maybe you can, you know, so of course our city leaders or county leaders will say, okay, that, well, I guess is the only way we're going to get the money back. We will take the money for the bike lanes, and maybe we'll have, you know, a bucket full of asphalt left over to patch a pothole, but, you know, that's how we get our money back. So when I do this to the new people, to Jefferson, you know, I explained to them that $1,500 that goes to the state of California and $400 comes back to our local area and the other comes back with strings attached to it. Our dream of Jefferson is that same $1,500, which actually we hope that it'll be less than that because we think we can lower sales tax, but that's a fight for another day.
Mm-hmm.
That $1,500 is collected and, you know, 600 will go to the city, and 700 will go to the county, and 200 will stay at the state level in Jefferson. I mean, those aren't exact numbers, but that's the model we dream of. The cities and the counties are going to have all the power and all the money, and very small, limited government at the state level.
That's right. And the thing is, too, there will be accountability factors thrown at the county and the cities within the state, because they're not going to have California to bail them out.
Yep.
They're not going to have, I mean, they're going to have to deal with Jefferson leadership.
Absolutely.
And it's going to be set up differently than California is currently operating.
And now if you see your city leaders and your county leaders with quite a few funds to do things, and they're doing stupid things, like instead of building a jail or another floor on the jail or a separate facility for the jail, because that's what we need, and they're putting up, you know, whatever, bike mm-hmm. lanes and lighted paths and who knows, whatever. Well, then you can get those people out of office, and
yes.
we will make that process a little easier, too.
Yep.
So that's Jefferson's dream, very small, limited state government and power into the counties and the cities. That's where all the power should be locally.
Well, and that goes back to, you know, the smaller amounts of money that would go to the state is due to because we would have fewer state agencies to fund.
Part-time legislature.
Yep,
and the whole
all of that.
Exactly.
It's a total package. You know, you don't have to send all that money to a state that's going to do what with it. Jefferson's going to be very careful and be frugal. We're going to be very careful of what we do with our money and however it rolls out and whatever gets developed in that vein. So knowing that most of the money is going to stay within the cities and the counties where it's earned. How is that going to be a bad thing? It's not. It's going to be a wonderful thing. We'll be able to fix those potholes. Actually, we'll be able to repave the street.
Yeah.
Instead of just fixing a pothole, we could repave a street, you know, do it right.
And there is other, you know, we've most of us have lived here so long, we've kind of forgotten what freedom and liberty is like from tyranny and from the government that we live under. You know, maybe on this next hour, I'll give you a couple examples of what some other states are like, because it's amazing when you move to another state and suddenly you want to build a shop on your place. And it's like you call the county and they're like, why are you calling us? It's your property. Do whatever you want with it. We don't understand that because it's been so long since we've lived under those rules. You know, it's been so long since, you know, another state that I might give an example of, you call your state legislature and you go online and get their phone number and you have their personal phone number or their home phone number, because they're accessible to you, because they mm-hmm. are a small state government. They have, you know, part-time elected officials, and you can still talk to them and get a hold of them, not this huge bureaucratic mess that we have here in California.
Well, and two, then, you know, you have access to them. If you're at a store somewhere or whatever, you're out at the lake or whatever, and you happen to see your representative, you have a better chance of being able to bend their ear for a moment. I mean, that comes with the territory. If they're going to be out in the public, guess what? They're going to be spoken to.
Yeah, when was the last time you ran into Ted Gaines? Do you
Who?
Remember?
Who?
Yeah, Ted
Who?
Gaines.
Who?
That's your state senator. I know. I that's usually a trivia question in my new person's class at the Tea Party or at the Patriots meeting, because I always ask, who's our state senator? And nobody knows. And it's like, don't worry. He doesn't know who you are either. So it's no big deal. You
yeah,
know,
exactly.
He represents a million people. You are one millionth of an election to him. You mean nothing to him. He doesn't care. But, yeah, exactly. We have a smaller government, more representation. Yeah, that representative is going to be – his kids are playing soccer with your kids, you know.
Right.
His neighbor is your cousin. I mean, you're going to have access to them.
And, and that's the beauty of it, too, is that when you have access, things can be fixed. Things
yes.
can be changed, and you won't be going down this illegal format that California representatives seem to be doing, you know, in any capacity, whether it's city council, board of supervisor, assembly, senate, whatever. They won't be allowed to do that.
Yeah, you will see them at the local spaghetti feed or at the
yes.
local, you know, meeting at the local whatever. You will see them. You will know them. You will know people that know them. You will have people that are related to them that are friends of yours. I mean, it's a much smaller government, much easier to control.
That's right. And the money will stay local, and we'll be able to fix things the way we need to, barring that we have control of our leadership here locally and making sure that we hold them accountable.
Yep.
So
when we go into the next hour, maybe we'll give you some examples of what some other states are like and what we dream of this state being like when we get Jefferson.
All right. It looks like we're going to be rolling out. So we're leaving this first hour of Sovereign Minds.
And we'll be back next hour.
All right.
Tiny decide what to do. The news is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.
Boost tariffs on American products in response to his plan to increase duties on steel and aluminium. May's office says she raised deep concern at Trump's announcement, noting that multilateral action is the only way to resolve the problem of global overcapacity. The leaders also discussed Syria and humanitarian concerns in eastern Ghouta. They agreed the overwhelming responsibility for suffering falls on the Syrian government and Russia, its main backer. Sarah Shackley, London.
A try for peace on the Korean Peninsula. A high-level delegation led by South Korean National Security Directorate is headed to North Korea for talks to out ease nuclear tensions and help arrange the restart of dialogue between North Korea and the U.S. Stories of danger and destruction in the wake of that nor'easter that hammered New England this weekend.
The Duxbury, Massachusetts Fire Department got more than 100 emergency calls during the height of the nor'easter. They usually get 8 to 12 a day.
We're a coastal community. We deal with this on a regular basis. But this storm packed a good punch.
And Captain Rob Reardon says one rescue was a horse trapped in a collapsed stable.
We went in with hand tools, chainsaws. Made a hole in the structure, basically the roof, and then the horse was able to get out.
He says the horse and firefighters are doing fine, as well as the community itself, all things considered. I'm Julie Walker.
Roger Bannister, the first runner to break the four-minute barrier in the mile, has died. He was 88 years old. On a windy late afternoon in Oxford on May 6, 1954, Bannister ran four laps on a cinder track in 3 minutes, 59.4 seconds, cracking the mythical barrier. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Think about the time and money your business spends to attract the best talent. What if it was your office that attracted employees? Today's workforce wants an office that's as mobile and active as they are. Varidesk Standing Desk Solutions help you create an active workspace where employees are happier, healthier, and more productive. Varidesk products require little to no assembly, ship for free, and come with a 30-day risk-free guarantee. Browse all Varidesk products at varidesk.com/radio. That's varidesk.com/radio.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy? Come to Dynavite for help.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite.
Dynavite is nutrition.
Pick up two bottles of LicoChops. Get the third bottle free.
New improved LicoChops with omega-3, omega-6, vitamin E.
And now, six extra direct-fed microbials.
Even better for the digestive tract and immune system.
Try LicoChops. Buy two, get one free.
At Dynavite.com.
Dynovite.com.
Ford is making Miami-Dade County its biggest testing ground yet for self-driving cars.
The automaker and its partners, including Domino's Pizza and ride-hailing company Lyft, are starting pilot programs now to see how consumers react to autonomous vehicles. Ford is also setting up its first-ever autonomous vehicle terminal, where it will learn how to manage its test fleet. It's all part of Ford's effort to find viable business models for fully autonomous vehicles and get them on the road by 2021.
Correspondent Jeremy House. Actress Julianne Moore is joining the chorus of advocates calling on New York state lawmakers to allow victims of child sexual abuse to seek justice from the courts decades later. Moore said in an op-ed in the Daily News this weekend she was shocked to learn that New York is one of the least victim-friendly states in the nation. They're calling on the New York State Legislature to pass the Child Victims Act. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. An Indian Navy sailboat with an all-female crew reached South Africa yesterday as it nears the end of a circumnavigation on the globe.
The INSV Tirini sailed into Cape Town, its last port of call, before returning to the Indian port of Goa. On a journey that began on September 10th, the 56-foot boat with a six-member crew has visited Fremantle, Australia, Lyttelton, New Zealand, and Port Stanley in the Falklands. Lieutenant Commander Vartika Joshi said the journey wasn't always easy.
It has been the most humbling experience of my life. And sometimes the winds would just pick up in no time, and sometimes they would drop down. And we will just keep waiting for days for them to pick up.
The crew got a warm welcome in Cape Town from students, Indian diplomats, and Cape Town Mayor Patricia Dalil, who tweeted that the sailors are an inspiration to women worldwide. I'm Karen Chamath.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sovereign Minds. I can't do that as well as Mark Kent, but I can try.
We're back.
All right.
Like a bad itch got scratched.
So I think we have Clayton Raposa on the line, which I'm glad he called to straighten us out, because I should have been mentioning some of these awesome Liberty Fests that he's putting on. Clayton is a machine. He helped me a ton, him and Brittany. They're a combo package, which couldn't be better. They helped a tremendous amount on this last fundraiser we had for Jefferson, and I was remiss in mentioning the upcoming events that he has going on. He has a bunch of them. So, Clayton, are you there?
I am. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic, Clayton. How are you?
I'm doing well, doing well.
So, what's your first event coming up here is in just in a couple of weeks on St. Patty's Day down in Red Bluff, I believe, is it not?
Yes, it is. It is the St. Patrick's Day Fest. The beautiful part about all of the festivals is they are free entry. There is no cost to get in to adult or child. So come on out. It won't cost you anything to hear the great music.
Now, is this one going to be anywhere near as awesome as the one was in Anderson River Park last summer or last October?
They should all be just as awesome. I've been putting the same amount of effort into it. And, we have the same winning going on, which is local music, tons of vendors, and free entry.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome, and the one in October in Anderson was spectacular. I imagine this one in Red Bluff is going to be just as great. There's things there for everybody. There's things there for, young people, old people, kids, lots of things for kids. You can have laser tag again this time?
Yeah, we have laser tag coming out to all the events. We've also got an addition this year of the medieval, they're more like barbarian reenactors that they do the Renaissance fair. They're going to come out and do their thing at the River Park in Red Bluff.
Barbarians. I like barbarians. I would make a good
barbarian.
Yeah,
they look pretty cool.
So they walking around with a turkey leg in their hand. And
they're actually going to be, dressed in period correct barbarian attire, which they make all themselves with all their tents and their setup, and they'll be putting on a fighting demonstration. They have a fighting ring where they do, they'll sword fight in there. So
now this is St. Patty's Day, so Jefferson Green okay to wear?
Oh, Jefferson Green's always okay to wear.
And a more important question, will there be beer there? Because it is St. Patty's Day.
Well, there has to be. There okay. will be beer there. The Palomino Room is providing the beer.
Count me in.
Yeah, no, it'll be fun, and we've got it's in the River Park on March 17th. It is from noon until 8. Like I said, it's free to get in, and we'll have tons of vendors there, particularly targeted towards families and kids. We've got Reading Balloons coming out, and they bring out a bunch of life-size games and stuff.
Now, is the River Park, is that where they used to have the boat drags, or where exactly is the River Park?
Yes. Okay. That is where they used to have the boat drag.
So before California cut the water off, where they used to have the boat drags, we will have the Jefferson Festival there. That's awesome.
Yeah, it should be a great time. St. Patrick's Day. So we've got all local talent, some really good folk that played for us at the Anderson Festival, like the Black Mountain Bandits is going to be opening this up. And we'll have Adrian Taylor, who is a younger gentleman from Anderson whose voice is phenomenal.
Awesome.
And then the last band is Derailed, which is a rock band. So if you like to bang your head, come on out for the last act and get a little bit, get all your energy worked out.
Now, you have something else going on March 31st, I believe, down in Corning, do you not?
I do. That is another free festival. That is Easter themed. We're going to have an Easter egg hunt out there. Reading Balloons has signed up for that one, too, so they'll bring a bunch of games out and laser tag.
Nice.
We've got a bunch of bands coming out for that one, and the food should be phenomenal. I'm excited to try Yes B's Curbside Diner. If no one's eaten from there because they're a local Red Bluff, they are fantastic, and their menu is huge. So it should be that should be really tasty. I'm excited to try them.
So yep. That's Easter themed. So Jefferson Green or pastels will both be appropriate clothing attire, correct?
Tie-dye.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, the whole purpose of these is to, you know, I wanted to give the State of Jefferson movement a little bit out of their normal
broader spectrum.
Yeah, normally they're politics and rallies and stuff, and these are just free music festivals. We want to engage with the community during a fun time where the kids can be active and the adults can drink some beer. And
yeah, guys, this is very important. I mean, the one that Clayton put on in October, it was fantastic. There was something there for everybody. It was a good time. And, you know, what I really appreciated the most was I saw people there that I knew that I would never see at a normal Jefferson event. They would never be at a town hall. You know, they wouldn't be on the bus ride down to Sacramento. I mean, these folks, you know, were there and they were exposed to Jefferson. And it's so great to see a new group of people that, you know, hey, these people want liberty and freedom too. I mean, everybody is looking for liberty and freedom, and it's not just the same old people. This is what you're doing, Clayton, is fantastic. It's opening up the world to a whole new spectrum of individuals out there that are looking for freedom and liberty and just looking to have a good time also.
Yeah, and I've had a lot of help with the Red Bluff group. I've been really proud of them with the auction dinner all through these festivals. We're a lot smaller of a group than the Shasta County group, and they have been putting in double the work down here to make up for it.
Yeah, those folks are awesome. Both of our Redding and our Tehama County group, they are incredible individuals. Now, you're having another one of these in Anderson also on tax day, right, April 14th?
Yes, April 14th is the Jefferson Fest. So this is a State of Jefferson-themed festival in the River Park in Anderson. So
it'll be similar to the one that you had in October. It's the same thing, bands, laser tag, food, drinks, the whole bit.
Yep, it is that all the way. It was the winning combination, so I'm trying it there again. And so far the turnout's been really good. We've gotten a lot of positive feedback from people who are typically either lukewarm on Jefferson or anti-Jefferson, where they're like, I don't like Jefferson, but these festivals are really, really cool, and it kind of opens up their mind that we're not just right-wing, radical,
exactly,
racist
exactly
people.
Yeah, that's important. And again, it's great. I mean, I saw people in Anderson at the last one that I would not normally see, and I mean, it was fantastic to see new faces. I mean, God bless all of our Patriots, and we love them all dearly. You know, but boy, we need to spread the word and get this message out. We need everybody from both sides of the aisle to support Jefferson and see that you need liberty and freedom, you know, and a better representation.
Hey, Clayton, quick question on the time frame. Is it the same time frame, 12 to noon, for each one of these events?
They are all 12 to noon.
Okay. Just want to make sure.
Yeah, I kept it easy on us.
12 to noon, and they're free, each one of them.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're saying 12 to noon. 12 to 8. Noon to 8.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, yeah. Noon to 8. Sorry, I've read it twice. Okay, 12 noon to 8 for each one of the events, and they're free admission. But then there is a cost or fee to some of the things for the kids to participate in. Is that correct?
Yes. Okay. The laser tag is really cheap. I like them a lot. They only charge $3 for like a 15 to 20-minute game, and he really engages with the kids and plays with them. If they're young and don't know how to work this stuff, he makes sure that they can work it and that they have a lot of fun. That's the whole goal. I tell all the Reading Balloons gal, she's great. You know, they just want to play with the kids and keep them entertained.
Well, I know that the laser tag was near our Jefferson booth when we were at Anderson last October, And that thing was going nonstop. They had lines of kids waiting to participate. And the kids would go through and do their thing and then come back out, and then they get in the back of the line. It was fun to watch that. And the parents were finally like, no, we got to go, we got to go. Or they would leave their kids there knowing that they were going to be there for 15 or 20 minutes. Mom and dad could walk around and check out the other, you know, the exhibits and stuff like that that the kids wouldn't want to participate in. So, and they could see them because it was in the middle of the venue. And, you know, they could just walk, basically go to all the canopies that were around, and they could still keep an eye on their kids, knowing that, okay, they're over there playing, having a good time, and mom and dad are either getting a beer or some pizza or going through and checking out all the little goodies that are for sale, and they got to participate, and it was good for everybody.
I know one of the kids made a sidestep between the end of playing and the back of the line, because it was my kid, and he was coming to me for another $3 to get back in the back of the line. He must have done it four or five times, but had a great time. Yeah, and it lasts a while. It's not, you know, a 5-minute thing. They take their time. The kids have a great time. And, and for $3, you know, for 15 minutes of fun, I mean, it was a great deal. Great day all the way around.
And I like the way it was set up, too. It was, you know, camo and all that kind of stuff. They did a good job. They did a really good job of the way they set it up. And again, you're right. The kids had a blast, and it was fun to watch that.
Yeah, that company is called Laser Recon, if anybody wants to book them for their private events. But you can't have them on March 17th, March 31st, or April 14th. I've already got it. But any other day, they are great.
Now, will we have the same beer vendor in Anderson on April 14th that we had last time?
Yes, we'll be having the Rotary, the Anderson Rotary's coming out, and I believe Barron's going to be serving it again.
Fantastic. So in October, you had a chance to buy a beer from the mayor. Barron is no longer the mayor this term, but he's still a city council member, still a great guy. Be from Barron.
Yes, I'll have several candidates coming out. At each one, I have a different slate of candidates who will be giving brief talks, speeches. Somewhere in the middle there, that's your chance to some questions.
Awesome.
There you go. See, that's what it's supposed to be like, you know, where you can actually have your drink a beer and talk to them.
And you do such a great job. I mean, it's important to get Jefferson out there to new people. And, you know, again, if they just go for a good time and they get to see that the Jefferson folks are just normal people that want to find some more liberty and secure liberty for their posterity, that's what we're all in it for.
Amen.
Yeah, and I'll tell you guys, this lack of representation argument, you know, put every other argument aside, that lack of representation argument, it strikes across the aisle like a tomahawk missile. Yep. I've got some of the most liberal people who are, and people who are members of Keep It California who are like, yeah, you're right about the representation. It's really, really bad.
Yep. Yeah.
So we have a common goal here that we could really make movements on.
Absolutely. In October, we had one of the guys playing in the bands or doing his own show there had a Bernie Sanders shirt on, and I thought it was just brilliant that he was on the backstage, but you brought him up on the front stage, because it's like, listen, we are here for everybody, both sides of the aisle. No matter where you are, you need more representation, and that's what we're all about.
That's right.
Right.
So.
Well, awesome. Well, good work, and keep us posted how things are going, and, you know, call in so we can stay on top of these, so we make sure we keep getting the word out, okay?
Yep. March 17th in Red Bluff, March 31st in Corning, and April 14th in Red Bluff. Put them all on your
Anderson,
calendar.
Anderson.
And these parks that we're doing them in are beautiful. Each one of these venues is gorgeous. So I can't wait for you guys to see the Corning Park. It's brand new, only a few years old. And it is really nice.
Looking forward to it.
Awesome. Well, good. Well, good job there, Clayton. Keep up the good work. And like I said, keep us posted, all right?
Uh-huh. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Clayton. You're the bomb.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Lynn.
All right. We still have a caller on the line.
Speaking of the bomb.
Speaking of the bomb,
we have Dick Wilkinson on the line.
Good morning, Dick. How are you doing, buddy?
Hey, good morning. Hey, so, you know, after that Florida shooting, I wrote a letter to the editor, and so they haven't printed it. It's called Gun Free Zones. I was wondering if, with your permission, I could read it.
Sure, go for it.
Okay. Why on earth did Governor Brown recently sign a bill that disallows persons with legal CCW, carry concealed weapon permits, to bring their weapons on any school ground with or without the principal's permission? Imagine this headline in local paper: Legally armed citizen shoots kills shooter and stops possible mass murder at local high school. This headline is not what anti-gun folk wish to see, and it does not help their desired goal of complete confiscation of all firearms. The recent school shootings are great for their cause because it creates a public outcry. A school shooting really helps their cause. Sacrificing a few hundred school children to further their cause is not only acceptable, but is a welcome event. We all have seen how fast gun control appeared on all TV channels after the Florida shooting. Entering a school ground in California is a risky event. Enter at your own risk. But they didn't want to print that.
Oh, can't imagine why.
One more thing.
You're absolutely right.
You know, if you know somebody who has a terminal illness and doesn't have too long to live, you need to encourage them to re-register as a Democrat. And there's two reasons for that. If somebody has to die, we want it to be a Democrat. The second reason is if you die as a Democrat, you can still vote in every election.
All right, Dick. I like your spin.
Okay, that's it.
Thanks,
Dick.
Goodbye.
There's a patriot for you.
Absolutely. Dick's the greatest.
One of the biggest supporters you could ever imagine. This great guy. He loves guns.
Yep.
He loves guns.
Dick is a great guy.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, so we are touching on some topics that people
are
still passionate about.
I figured we'd have some more callers in here. So
are they scared?
I don't know. I don't know. They could be listening to the other Jefferson show, but that's over now, so I don't know.
Are they waiting for us to step in it?
That's a possibility.
Well, we won't do that intentionally. It's never done intentionally, let me tell you.
All right. Well, I'll share the stories that I alluded to earlier in this hour that, there's some of the things that happen in other states. So I had a friend of mine that's a big gun guy like Dick Wilkinson, but wasn't him, but a big Second Amendment guy. And I don't remember if it was the first Obama administration or the second time. But anyhow, the state of Wyoming decided to pass a law that said they will not recognize any federal gun laws that come down the pike that supersede the state laws or the laws that are currently on the books. So my friend out here in California, being a big Second Amendment, pro-Second Amendment guy, thought, you know, I'm going to call these guys and just leave a message at their office and tell them, you know, hey, from a patriot out here in California, you know, thank you very much. You guys are doing a great job. So he goes online, Googles, you know, Wyoming state representatives and cross-references that with the guys that wrote this law, and he starts making phone calls. Well, he makes the first phone call, and he gets an answer machine, like, at somebody's house. And he's like, oh, what the heck is that? I must have got the wrong number or something. That's strange. So he calls the next number, and he gets an older lady on the phone, says, hello. And he's, I'm sorry, ma'am. I was trying to get hold of state representative so-and-so. And, oh, yeah, this is his home. He's not here. Can I take a message? And my buddy's like, whoa, I'm sorry. This is his home. I didn't mean to call your home. I'm sorry. And so finally gets another guy online. And he answers his cell phone. Hello. He's like, I'm trying to get hold of state senator so-and-so. Yeah, this is him. What you need? Well, hey, dude, you might want to fix something here. He's like, I just Googled your guys' names and got all your phone numbers here. And, I just got this online. Your phone numbers are listed online. These are your personal phone numbers. And they said, yeah, that's right. We're elected by the people. We represent the people, and we are the people. We're just normal guys that, you know, are farmers and ranchers and business owners, lawyers, whatever, and we do our term in office. It's part-time legislature. We do our term for a couple of years, and then we go back to our jobs. You know, we still do our jobs while we're holding office. And, you know, and it was just, it was so jaw-dropping that you can just Google these state representatives and get their personal phone numbers and give them a call. It's like, you know, can you imagine trying to Google Dianne Feinstein and getting her personal phone number, or Ted Gaines, or, you know, Brian Daly, for instance? Now, Brian Daly will usually, his office will return most of your calls, but, you know, it's not just calling the person up on the phone,
right?
Because they are your representatives and they are you. They are your people, your neighbors, your, you know. That's how other states work. We don't understand that because we've lived here for so long that we, you know, can't understand that. But there is another way of life out there, guys.
You don't have that buffer.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, they are, you know, they don't have that shield, buffer, whatever you want to call it, between them and their personal space and the public.
Yeah, my friend thought that he would get, like, you know, a secretary or an intern at an office. And,
sure,
you know, and he told the guy this that he's talking to on the cell phone. He says, I'm sorry, I thought I'd get, like, your voicemail or secretary or something. He goes, we don't have secretaries. We don't have offices. We meet at the Capitol, you know, a couple times a year and you know, fight on legislation or whatever. He says, but no, we are normal citizens that do our jobs, and that's just an aspect that we've done on the side to do our civic duty. And it's like, we don't understand that. The same friend had a friend of his that had retired to Montana, and he had a good retirement. He was a single guy, so he had all the toys, the side-by-sides and the motorhomes and the whole bit. And, of course, his, you know, license fees on the motorhome was, you know, $19 every 2 years or some ridiculous amount rather than thousands of dollars a year like it would be here.
Yep.
And bought a nice place, and he wanted to build a shop. So, being from here, he figured, well, okay, I want to build a shop. Let's get the ball rolling. So he calls the county, says, hey, I own this parcel of land at such and such address, and I want to build a shop. And they said, okay, what are you calling us for? He said, well, do I need to get a permit? They said, no, it's your property. Do whatever you want. I don't even know why you called us. He goes, well, I don't have to go through you to build a shop on my property. They said, no, call the whoever's going to build your shop and tell them what you want. I don't even know why you called us. And this guy, of course, coming from here, you don't understand that. It's like, how can you just build something on your property without getting the government's permission? You know, and then of course, he builds his shop and, you know, dream shop, every guy's dream shop. It's got a car lift. It's heated, insulated. It's got a man cave. It's just this beautiful $60,000 shop. Well, in Montana, they don't have Prop 13, so the taxes change every year. So here the lady comes out and from the tax assessor's office the next year, and he's thinking, oh, boy, now I'm going to pay for it.
Yep.
She says, well, your property's a year older, and the market's down a little bit. I noticed you built a shop over there. She says, how about we just call it a wash, and you pay the same taxes you paid last year? And it's like, you know, guys, there is another world out there that we don't understand, but we can dream about and hear about. And instead of moving to Montana or moving to Wyoming or moving to Idaho or moving to one of these states where you have this freedom, how about we stay here and fight and make this state a free state, make the state of Jefferson happen, and then we can live those dreams where you can call your representative on the phone and say, hey, pal, I don't like what you did here. Or, hey, champ, I really love what you did here. You know, one of the
off,
other.
Yeah.
Or hey, I would like to build a shop. Or I'd like to get a bucket of gravel off my dry creek bed off my own property. I'm not going to call the county for permission. I'm not going to call the state for permission. I'm just going to go get that bucket of gravel that I need in my planter box. You know, there is another world out there.
Well, and you're absolutely right. It's the mindset that we as Californians have been conditioned to and the way we are forced to think. And by, you know, being good drones, that's what we do.
Yeah.
We follow suit. Okay, we know we have to get a permit. We have to do this. We have to do that. We have to pay, not just getting the permit, pay through the nose for the permits, and they're not consistent.
And then we have to do every single little thing on that permit.
Yes.
Because we're going to get some bureaucracy out there that,
yep,
says, oh, no, you used a square nose shovel, and you should have used a rounded nose shovel, and now we have to fine you.
Yes, yes. And there's always a layer of baloney that comes with it. And with that layer comes a fee or a price.
Constantly.
And so, and then if you're not done within a certain amount of time, say 6 months or a year, then you have to refile and repay or you get fined. I mean, there's always something, and it's never to the benefit of the taxpayer, to the property owner. It
no.
never is. People say, oh, it is because you got a permit. No, it is not because you got a permit. And 9 times out of 10, I bet you people that are going to build something on their property are going to build it to or beyond specs required. So there's no need to have a permit saying you need to have this, that, or the other on your structure when you're going to hire a contractor to come out and do a good job. And if they don't, then you have legal recourse to go after the contractor. So, I mean, there will be ways of doing that, but you want to make sure that you're in compliance with it, but in compliance in your own mind on, yeah, if you build something, you want to stay standing.
Yeah,
you want to be able to use it.
And again, you know, that outlawing stupidity. If you build a horrible garden shed and it falls down 2 years later in a windstorm, well,
there you
who
go.
Who did it hurt? It hurt you, and you shouldn't have built a horrible garden shed.
You learn by your mistakes.
Yeah.
Yes. And that's the thing, too. That's part of being responsible, whether you're responsible to yourself personally or to your property, or, you know, things on your property or, you know, whatever. So you just have to change the way you think and not be drone-like and follow suit of what California mandates.
Yeah. So let's think about Jefferson. Let's think about how Jefferson could be, how you own your property and you can do what you want with your property.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we don't want our neighbors to be burning tires in their front yard, you know, instead of a smudge pot or something to keep their citrus trees warm. But, you know, I don't know if we need 15 state agencies and county agencies and city agencies to make sure that our neighbors aren't setting tire fires.
Right.
I think one agency or even one law enforcement officer would say, you know, it's not a good idea to burn tires. Let's not do that anymore.
Right.
Plain and simple.
And, you know, being good neighbors. You know,
yeah,
that's
exactly.
part of being grown-ups. All right. Well, we need to slip off to a break, so we're going to do that real quick, and then we'll be back in a few moments. So.
The lines are open. Call on in.
Happening in the state of Jefferson. Every week there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 a.m. with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Hi, this is Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. Join me at 9 a.m. every Wednesday for Generations Talk Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. Topics will include resources and businesses that you need to know about. We will talk money, travel, healthcare, and more. Embrace aging. Listen to Generations Talk Radio, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. here on KCNR 1460. Archive shows at generationstalkradio.com.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal Housing Lender. Member FDIC.
Well, it's all. Someone to tell you everything. Sit around and wonder what tomorrow will bring. Maybe a diamond ring.
Well, it's all right, even if you say you're wrong. Well, it's all right. Sometimes you gotta be strong. Well, it's all right, as long as you got somewhere to lay. Well,
somewhere down the road when somebody plays
at the end of the line,
purple haze.
When it's all right, even when push comes to shove. Well, it's all right, if you got someone to love. Well, it's all right, everything will work out fine. Well, it's all right, we're going to the end of the line.
Ashamed of the car I drive.
At the end of the line.
I'm just glad to be here, happy to feel that. And it don't matter if you're by my side, I'm satisfied.
Well, it's all.
The end of the line.
All right, the end of the line. That's awesome.
Yeah, I got a message from Clayton after he was on, and we were talking about all of his festivals, which are fantastic. And the only other thing we need to do for Jefferson, other than get new people involved, is raise funds, because we are suing the state of California, and we are going to end up in the Supreme Court, and that's going to cost some money. So, Clayton, on top of putting on all of these different events to bring in new people and expose ourselves to new people and get the word out there, he's also fundraising. So we have some tickets available for a dream vacation. So this would cover two people going to Alaska or Mexico on a 7-day cruise. You could also, if that's not your dream vacation, you could use the trip or the money as a $3,000 deposit to go to wherever you want for a dream vacation. So if Mexico or Alaska cruise is not your dream vacation, the money can be used otherwise. It's through Boomerang Travel. They're great people to work with, and they will, if you win this trip, they will let you use it towards something else if that is not your dream vacation. So anyways, the tickets are $20 a piece, or you can get six of them for $100. And if you'd like those tickets, we will have some available at the Patriot Meeting at 3276 Bocelli Lane at 6 o'clock tomorrow night. Or you can call Clayton directly, and his number is 530-776-8434. So give Clayton a call, 530-776-8434, or come to the Patriot Meeting tomorrow night, and we'll hook you up with some dream vacation raffle tickets.
Awesome. Hey, do we know when those tickets are is going to be drawn?
Well, he had planned on drawing them on at the first festival, March 17th. If he hasn't sold enough, we may end up doing the winner at one of the other festivals.
Okay.
But so if we sell out of them, then it'll be March 17th. We'll draw the winner. If we've only got half of them sold at that point, then he'll probably go ahead and wait until April 14th or March 31st at one of his other festivals.
All right. Perfect. All right. Good. See, there's another way to support and be part of it. And
absolutely.
Contribute.
All proceeds go to Jefferson, the legal fund. So,
and there's a limited number of tickets
there
being sold,
is. He's
right?
Going to print 1,200 tickets. So if you buy six of them for $100, you have a 1 in 200 chance of winning a $3,000 dream vacation.
There you go. See, there's always a way to make it work. And we want everybody to have an opportunity to participate and do what you can. And when you're participating in that way, you're also supporting Jefferson. So we truly appreciate that.
Yep.
Thank you very much.
And you,
go ahead.
No, well, I was going to say, we were talking of fundraising, so we had a fundraiser a couple weeks ago, and it went fantastic, and again, I could not possibly thank everybody involved, because it would take me weeks and weeks, and you guys are all fantastic, both the Redding Group, the Tehama County Group, you guys are all awesome. We sold tickets for a gun leading up to that event, and we drew it at that event. So this shout-out goes to all the other Jefferson counties out there. We do need to raise funds. We estimate the legal fund to get to the Supreme Court is going to cost us $1 million. I think we are probably over the $400,000 barrier now.
I'm sure we are.
So we're getting close to halfway there, but we need everybody involved. And these tickets that we were selling leading up to our event, I just a little shout out there. I sold $200 to a gentleman down in Plumas County. He called me up and sent me a check, and I filled out the tickets for him and put the stubs in the basket and sent him back the tickets. And then he called me back up and he wanted another $40 for a neighbor friend of his. So My thing is, he didn't have an opportunity to purchase tickets closer to him because there wasn't anything going on down in his neck of the woods.
Uh-huh.
So we need to get, we have 21 Jefferson counties and two more on the way. And, you know, those two are working on what we were doing 4 years ago. The Mariposa and Stanislaus County are collecting signatures,
yep,
and doing all that work that we did 4 years ago. So for you counties out there that have already done that work and you have signed declarations at the Secretary of State's office, it's time to start helping out with some of these fundraisers. Now, we have some counties that are really doing a lot and helping out quite a bit, and we have some other counties that just need somebody to step forward and say, okay, I'm willing to do a fundraiser. What do I need to do? Give me a call, and I will help you, guide you, teach you everything that Pat Jones taught me, and that, you know, we will help you any way we can, but let's get some fundraisers going out there. I think every county should be selling raffle tickets of some kind or another, whether it's a gun, a quilt, a houseboat trip, a dream vacation. Every county should be selling some fundraisers and get some tickets out there. Those counties that are willing, let's step up to the plate. Let's have a fundraiser. Let's do a dinner. I mean, it's great fun. Everybody has a good time. And again, you collect money for the court costs, and you also expose yourself to some people that maybe you might not normally have in your groups that you talk to every day. We had a lot of great people at our fundraiser that I did not recognize, but boy, I was sure thankful they were all there.
Yep. And then thing too, you're building that bond with your community.
Absolutely.
Within your community by doing that, saying, hey, yeah, we're stepping up and we're doing the right thing. And they want to step up too, but they don't know about it until you start doing something as simple as a fundraiser for a gun.
Yeah.
And everybody, for the most part, people want to buy gun raffle. They want the gun, so they're going to buy tickets. And you'll be surprised where the support comes from.
Yeah.
Like you said, you just said that a moment ago. It's good to have that, because then people start getting that inkling of, okay, we can do it. And we here in Shasta County, our group loves to help out. We do a lot of work within our own county and with Tehama County and Trinity counties, but we're also willing to help in other counties. And like Chris just put the offer out, he's willing to help out. Well, when you get Chris, you get others. You know, we're willing to help you to do what you need to do. And you're not just going to sell the tickets in your own county. We could get a stack of tickets over here. We'll sell them over here. So it's going to start growing, networking and so forth. And that's what it's all about. So, you know, the challenge is put out there. If you want to get it done, you know, put your team together, do what you want to do, and we'll help you out.
And the raffle tickets, again, I mean, I'm a gun guy. I like guns. I will buy gun tickets. I bought some at the gun show yesterday because, you know, if there's a chance to win a gun, I'm in.
Yep.
But they don't have to be gun tickets. We had somebody online made a great suggestion that may be our next fundraising ticket. He said, hey, everybody needs a gun safe. Well, you know what? That's a brilliant idea.
Right.
Maybe we will be selling tickets here shortly to win a gun safe. Again, quilts, houseboat rentals, you know, all-day spas, a couple spas, whatever. If you can find something, and it doesn't have to be donated necessarily, you know, again, we're going to generate income on this. So, you know, for those counties that aren't doing anything, hey, let's do something. For those counties that are doing something, let's do a little bit more.
There you go.
So we need to get some funds in here, and we need to expose ourselves to new people.
That's right. And the beauty of it is, too, again, it comes back to the networking. You'll end up finding out, you know, people that you didn't know about in your own county are there. They're willing to help. They've been there forever. You just didn't know it. And guess what? It all starts coming together, and you become stronger as a county committee, and things will happen.
And for me, you know, if I'm working at Jefferson Booth, like we have one at the gun show right now on Hilltop Drive at the Holiday Inn, if I'm working at Jefferson Booth, I sometimes have a hard time going, hey, you know, let me tell you about Jefferson. Would you mind giving me $20, you know, for a legal fund? I don't have a hard time going, hey, you want a chance to win a gun? I got tickets here, $5, you know, five tickets for $20, a chance to win a gun. And I mean, again, the money all goes to legal funds. So it's much easier for me. And I think for all of you out there that are having booths, whether it's at a craft fair or a state fair or a gun show or a rodeo or a home show or wherever it is, you know, you should have some raffle tickets on that table to be selling to your pay as you're talking to them about Jefferson. Hey, you want a chance to win a gun safe? You want a chance to win a dream vacation? You want a chance to win whatever? You know, here you go. The money goes to legal fund. That's what we're, you know, out there. Let's you know, give somebody. And again, those tickets, you know, they have the SOJ51.org website on them, you know, yeah. And they get five tickets with information on there and an opportunity to go gather more information. So
there you go.
It's a great way to advertise.
And even if you don't have a gun shop in your county, there are gun shops in other Jefferson counties that would be happy to work with you to make the acquisition of the gun that you auction off a possibility.
Yeah.
So don't worry about that. Things will happen. Things will fall into place. It always does.
And if you don't have a gun shop in your county, let me know because you need one.
But after Jefferson, we don't want them to go through the California.
Absolutely.
Garbage.
That is true. Well, there'll be a gun shop on every corner probably by then. So who knows? We'll see.
We'll see what happens. But yeah, we want to make sure that the opportunity is there for you and your specific county to do this. And we're willing to help out. We'll do whatever we can to make it happen, and we'll do our part, and we'll help you so you can be stronger and do your part, and you can move it forward. You guys come up with the idea. Whatever you want to do, we'll support it.
Yeah, at our last fundraiser, which was February 17th, and, man, it turned out great. We had it was a good time. It was great fun. We raised a ton of money. Now, David Tishnell and I kind of had a little, gentleman's
challenge.
Yeah, a little bit. But you know what? We weren't on the conference call, but had we been on the conference call, I'm a very competitive guy. But when it came down to it, it didn't matter who raised the most money because
right.
We were both winners. Our counties were all winners.
Yep.
Everybody that participated was winners because we did something. We raised funds.
Yep.
So there was no losers in that little gentleman's bet or that little, competition that we had going there because we were all winners. We all did what we were supposed to do and raised money. Now, I talked to one of the gentlemen that cooked the spaghetti for their spaghetti feed down there, that David Tishnell, I think it was Aaron
Nassaro.
Yes, I talked to him. And now they were taking most of that, or over half of that money, and they were putting it towards the Jefferson Fund, the legal fund, which is what we put all of our money to that. They put a portion of their money to that. The other portion, they're going to buy some radio time or do a radio show. So, again, if you're out there and, hey, maybe you think, boy, I'd like to have a billboard on I-5. A billboard coming into Siskiyou County on I-5, that would be great, but we don't have the funds for that. Well, let's do a fundraiser. If you want to raise funds to put a billboard up, we'll raise funds to put a billboard up.
Yeah.
If you're down in Colusa County and you want one on I-5 going down there or Highway 99 or whatever, hey, we'll raise money for that. I mean, we believe in the legal fund. We think that's the best way to get California to let us go. I truly believe in my heart that that's our best option of getting out of California and forming the 51st state. But if you want to raise funds for something else Jefferson related, I'm all with you. I'm for you. Let's help you out. I mean, it doesn't have to go to the legal fund. That's where most of our money goes. But if you have a better idea, that's fine. We'll raise money for that. But let's get some money going. Let's get some, expose ourselves to some new people and, get this legal fund built up.
It's all about the whole common cause is what we're doing. We're fighting for Jefferson.
Absolutely.
And however we need to do it, we do it. Keeping in mind, too, like with Shasta County, the reason we haven't put up signage on there is that you have to go through an extensive abatement process with the county because we were going to do that. We had a Jefferson friendly who has property right along I-5, and we were going to put a sign up on their property. And we went through the process, and we were told – under no certain terms were we able to do it. It's like, really? They own the property.
Yeah.
If they want to put anything up on their property, apparently they cannot do it.
Amazing how that works, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, because they have basically a moratorium on controlling signage throughout Jefferson or throughout, Shasta County along I-5.
And the things that our elected officials worry themselves about, there was just a controversy not too long ago. On Airport Road, there is a store called Amazing Finds, and I drive past that place. Five days a week I drive past the place, and half the time it's in the dark, and the other half the time it's when I'm coming home. But they painted the whole side of their building one big giant sign, and it's a metal building. It's not exactly the Taj Mahal sitting out there, and it looked very cool with the side of their building painted the Amazing Finds.
Yeah.
Well, they were told they can't do that. So they had to repaint their building so that they didn't have the sign on the side of their building and they could have a smaller sign on the side of their building. It's like, really? We elected you to stop that? Really?
Yeah.
To tell a business owner that's contributing to the tax base of this city and county that...
That's a big building.
It is a big
and
building.
So they're contributing in a big way.
Absolutely. And you used to see that, driving by. I mean, I knew there was something over there. I knew in that metal building over there was some store called Amazing Finds. I have to admit, I hadn't gone into it. I'm tempted to now, but it just, and then I see this controversy and I'm like, are you kidding me? this is what we're worried about. Yeah. I guarantee folks that will not happen in Jefferson. That kind of stuff is not going to happen in Jefferson. This is about liberty and freedom. I mean, for crying out loud, what exactly was that hurting?
It wasn't hurting anything.
No.
At all.
Kind of like the trailers being parked in the Lowe's parking lot. Really?
And it's far enough off the road, even if it was affecting anything,
yeah,
it wouldn't. Because how far back? It's probably, what, 500 feet off the highway?
At least. And it's not a neon sign that's blasting into your eyes as you're driving by and blinding you. I mean, it's paint on the side of a building.
It's perpendicular to the road. You have to look over to it to even see it. Yeah.
Unbelievable. You know, Lauder, the Home Depot, all worried about. We have criminals walking the streets, breaking into cars, breaking into homes. But we're worried because there's a couple to parking lot of a, you know, bringing in
those portable buildings and stuff out there.
Very possible. I know there was a big.
Well, we're going to have to keep on fighting the fight and getting the support. And we're really hoping that people will make it happen. You know, we've got things that we're working on constantly. There are a lot of behind-the-scenes things that happen that have to happen in order to make the front of the scene move forward. It's nonstop. Things are happening daily. And, it's, you know, just picture a duck on the water. You know, he looks like he's floating along nice and quiet, but his little legs under the water are going like crazy because he's trying to go upstream instead of floating downstream. Well, we're definitely going upstream, and we're constantly fighting the fight. So we are definitely doing work. And the education process, for me personally, has been enormous. I feel so cheated by the education that I got from, you know, kindergarten all the way through high school and even in college, because I didn't learn about all the stuff that we are dealing with anywhere along the line. I mean, yeah, I knew who the presidents were. I used to be able to name them all. That's it. I mean, truly, I didn't know about the Liberty Factor. I didn't learn about, you know, your constitutional rights as the rights, what the rights were emphatically. I know them now, but I know that I didn't know them, so how many millions of others didn't know them?
Yeah, I can always remember, like, watching a documentary or two, and I had to rewind it because I'm like, what? That really? I had no idea. And I was pretty good in school. I was pretty good and took some history classes and stuff, but it's like they didn't teach that side. That didn't fit the narrative, so it did not get out there. So,
well, and that's the thing. You know, you see now posting all kinds of places, and how valid some of this stuff is, I'm not sure, but that's when it started. The dumbing down of America was in the early 60s. Well, you know, that's around when I was born, so of course I never got that opportunity to learn the stuff that my parents learned and my grandparents learned. So, yeah, they dumbed us down, and it was done by design.
Yep.
All done by design.
Yep.
Well, we're going to hopefully put a kink in that armor.
I hope so, and it's funny because the things seem to decline in the 60s, and I tell people, again, in the new class, it's like, a lot of people think it was different factors. A lot of that had to do with Reynolds versus Sims, 1964, and taking all our representation out of the rural areas, putting it all into the big city areas. And that's what we're fighting. That's what this lawsuit hopefully will change. That's what we'll turn back around and get representation for everybody, not just the city dwellers.
Right. And then when you have representation, you can go, like we've said over and over and over again, speak to your representative.
Yep.
Good, bad, or indifferent. Yeah, and you're absolutely right. If they do a great job, high five, you pat them on the back, give them praise, whatever. And if they do the opposite, then you question that. Ask them why. Have them explain their reasoning for a certain decision or an action. That way you can either they can explain it well enough so you understand, and then maybe you agree, or maybe you clearly disagree with what they were thinking, and then you have the right to vote against them at the next election.
And when you have one senator for every million people,
yeah,
if you disagree with something he does, now fortunately we don't have to disagree with anything he does because he doesn't do anything. So, you know, there's no disagreement, there's no agreement. He basically does nothing. In fact, I remember the last time he was up for re-election, it fried me because there was a little news story that came on that said, oh, Senator Ted Gaines is introducing a bill that basically would make it a non-requirement for smogging cars before 1972, and the current year was 1970, so it was going to affect like 12 people in the whole state. It had no meaning for anybody, but it got his name out there before the election.
Mm-hmm.
He was sponsoring a bill that basically nobody was against.
Yep.
Not many people were for, but nobody was against it, so it brought his name forward to remind everybody of his name, and then when you saw his name on the ballot, you'd go, oh, let's see, I remember hearing that name, and it didn't make me mad, so I guess he must be a good guy, and he's got the right initial next to his name, so I'll vote for him. And, folks, they do this all the time. Right now we see in our county board of supervisors race the same things happening here. All of a sudden, the guys that are up for re-election, boy, they are front and center and at every activity and volunteering and doing all sorts of great things. Well, where were they the last 3 years?
Well, that's why you want to check on their voting record.
Exactly.
See what they're doing. What have they actually done?
Don't just say, oh, the week before the election, boy, that guy was out there at the creek cleanup and he must be a good guy. Yeah. But what did he do the 3.5 years leading up to that?
Well, and the thing is, too, you know, the voting record is a report card.
Yeah.
So, are you going to give them a reward of staying in office, or are you going to pull them out of office given their history? Because their voting record is their history. That is what they do. And check their voting records. Do whatever you have to do that. Go online, find it out. And if you can't see it online, call the county. Find out, where is this? How come I don't see it? Give it to me.
And remember, when you're voting and you're thinking about the week before the election, go back and look at the week after the last election, because that's where you're going to find the true voting record. Because I got news for you, as soon as these guys get elected next November and their term starts again, that's when you're going to see the bad stuff come out, because they do everything right after an election and hope that everybody forgets about it, you know, 3 years and 11 months later.
Yep. So then they
that's
can keep
what
their
they
position.
Do.
Yep.
Yeah. So.
Well, and you have to remember, too, what they tell you in the open public forum. You know, go to attend a meeting. Find out what they do. And see how much time, do they waste a lot of time and they're just up there pandering?
Yep.
If that's the case, then maybe they need to be gone. They don't need to be doing that. Maybe they need to get in there and take action, move on, and have good, solid, quality discussion about whatever the topics may be. And if they're just, you know, up there blowing smoke up each other's skirt, you know, it's time for them to move on.
Don't look for the R next to the name. Don't look for the D next to the name. Look for the name and the man and or the woman and the person that is running, because that's who you're voting for, not the R, not the D.
That's right.
So. Amen.
Well, we need to make sure that, you know, we keep telling everybody that so that they listen to it, they act on it, and question them. Please do it. You also, at all these public meetings, you have 3 minutes that you can go up and speak. Some of the meetings you can do it in the beginning, like the Board of Supervisors. In Anderson City Council, you can do it in the beginning. And Chesapeake Lake City, you can do it in the beginning of the meeting. The City of Reading, they hold you over until midnight or later.
They really don't want to hear from you.
They don't want to hear from you. That's why they always have their public comment at the end of the meeting, which is absolutely asinine and wrong and just bad. Bad way to operate and to answer to your employers. Remember that. The taxpayer is the employer, and the voter is the employer of the elected official. All right, well, we have a caller in. Bob, you're there. What's happening, Bob?
You got 2 minutes, Bob.
Yes. About 3 weeks ago, David Kehoe was on the radio and talking about re-election. He was coming up with all sorts of ideas and stuff, just like what you guys were talking about. And I asked him, would he have come up with all this? Would he want all this? You know, if he wasn't up for re-election and didn't have somebody running against him in his area. And he said, no, I wouldn't have to. I mean, this is just exactly what you're talking about.
There you go.
Yeah, well, David Kehoe, 3.5 years ago, made the motion to not vote for Jefferson and to never bring it up again unless Boss seconded that motion. The two guys that had
gotten
re-elected, they were the ones that torpedoed Jefferson. So please keep that in mind for you Jefferson fans out there. We have an election coming up. Both those guys are on the ballot again. Both those guys torpedoed Jefferson as soon as they were reelected.
Well, this is time now for us to have people running against them. Let's get rid of them.
Well, keep in mind, too, they read a typewritten statement.
After listening to us for pretending to listen to us for 4 hours.
They read
their pre-written statement saying they were against it, and they never wanted to talk about it again.
Unless they decided to have a meeting outside of the board meeting to discuss it.
Right.
Which is a Brown Act violation.
Yeah, so that's okay. I have a long memory, and I'll remind everybody I know.
And we also have it recorded.
We
have it documented and recorded. So, and we have multiple copies of that recording.
Thank you, fellas. You've done a great job on two shows.
All right. Thanks, Bob.
Thanks, Bob. Talk to you later.
Right.
And I will see everybody at the gun show. I'm on my way there now.
All right. The time has come.
4:51.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their new...